Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. It is a beautiful, cloudless day on the beaches of Florida here in the Panhandle. However, it's also about 25 degrees. Thank goodness we have no wind blowing today. That does make it a lot more bearable, but it is definitely cold. They said this was the coldest day yet. I don't know what it got down to late last night, but they said it would definitely be colder than any other time in current history in Florida, and then tonight it starts warming up. So I am blessed, although I do know across the country there are other places that are hotter. Man, this is a great day. This is a day where I'm actually starting a fast. Good friend of mine, Steve Luxenberg, leader over in Zervita, had turned me on to awake21.org, a 21-day fast and prayer time, and I'm stoked, man. I am just totally excited about where this year is going. But it's great because I'm reading Ready, Set, Grow, Don DeScamacci's book, and I tell you, every time I dig into another chapter, I get blown away. I write more in my journal. It helps me change the direction. And today, we're talking about the chapter she wrote, Break the Worry Habit. Worry is the great stumbling block of the mind. And I thought, man, isn't that a truth? And I snickered as I read her opening paragraph because she talks about how most of us have a master's degree in worry. And, you know, from the time I can remember, it was worry, worry, worry. And especially as a child, because as I was growing up, and a lot of you have heard parts of the story, but with my mom being sick like she was and my dad always gone, then I would always constantly be worried about my actions. And I would get up before my mom would get out of bed some days in the mornings. If it was a beautiful day like this and it was summertime, I would literally be up and out of bed and out the door, and I would stay gone most of the day. And I didn't run away from the house or anything. I mean, we were out in the neighborhood. We had a big, gigantic park behind our house, and I had been able, way back on the back part of our land, we had about a half acre. I was down by the creek, and I'd made a fort, and I had my own little hideout there. And when she wanted me to be closer to home because she was working and didn't want me out and about in the neighborhood, then I had a place beside our house that was fenced in where that would be my little hideout. And I mean, literally, I would sleep because I was always worried about my actions. If I upset my mom, then she would not just say, wait till your dad gets home. She'd have the item of choice, whatever it was going to be that he would discipline me with, and it would be there waiting. And all day long, I would watch that, knowing that as soon as he walked through the door, before he took a shower, cleaned up, did anything, I was going to get my butt busted for whatever I'd done that most of the time I couldn't even remember. I mean, it was worry, worry, worry. So I carried that into my adult life early on. And it wasn't until I really started focusing at a teenage, late teens, started focusing on change. And I think probably it happened when I went into the Marine Corps. I finally stopped worrying what other people would think and started focusing 100% on where I was going. And most people don't get to do that at the age of 17. Most of them, first of all, don't join the military. Second of all, they're not focused until they're in their 20s or in their 30s. And it's funny because Dondi uses a verse in the Bible, a wonderful verse. It's Matthew 6:27, that says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And I thought, man, isn't that the truth? What's worry got? What is it that it's benefited? You know, I read a stat from Tony Robbins once that said 95% of everything we worry about never comes to fruition. And most everything that we worry about, and really Brian Tracy points this out in The Psychology of Achievement, most of everything we worry about takes us in the opposite direction of where we want to go anyway. And Brian puts it this way, we are traveling in the direction of our most dominant thought. So if we're sitting here worried, we're sitting here focused on what might happen instead of what can happen, what we can control, then we're never gonna make the directional change that we need to take. I want to stop there for a second because I find that pretty deep, and yet most people skim over it. If we constantly worry, let's take a woman. And I'm going to use a woman as an example because I'm married to one, and I have two that are daughters and two that are granddaughters. Let's look at something here. If we go through as a woman and you have these babies, you go from this hot-looking 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 25-year-old to where you're in the workplace, you're kicking butt, you're doing some stuff, you don't have time to work out near as much. You take a shower, you get out, you're looking at the mirror, and you think, man, I've put on a little weight. Man, my breasts are sagging a little bit. And you get concerned. And then you go out there, and it's just you. No big deal. You're looking pretty, looking beautiful. You're still that dominant woman in the workplace. And then all of a sudden you fall in love. And you marry this stud-looking guy, and you're out there and about, and all of a sudden you have a couple kids, and you get through those early years, you got them in school, and you're thinking, I'm going back to the workplace, and you get out of the shower, and all of a sudden you look at yourself and you think, wow, now I've got stretch marks. Now I've got all, oh my gosh, nobody's gonna want to hire me. Oh, nobody, my husband's probably going to start having affairs. And it starts in the mind. All of a sudden you start worrying about things that aren't really the trouble. The trouble's not what's going to happen at the workplace. The trouble's not a husband having an affair. The trouble is how you perceive yourself looking in the mirror and what is in your control, what you can do to change how you feel. Men are the same way. Men get out of high school, they're in college, they're studs, they're out there on the football field, they're doing great stuff, things are good, the women love them. Then they stop playing sports, have to raise a family, or worse yet, they're NFL professionals. I love watching Bill Montana's little commercial on losing weight. He stops playing football, gains 50 pounds. Undisciplined. I see the same thing happen to military guys. I see the same thing happen to cops when they stop being rookies. And all of a sudden, in this case, their wives look good. Looking hot as ever. The guys in the locker room are saying, man, you got one fine-looking woman. And they're thinking, man, when I take my girdle off, all this stuff's going to plop down around my knees. Well, it's not what they're worrying about. It's not a fact of, oh, I wonder what my wife's doing. I just saw that new Dolly Madison commercial about having affairs. Oh, my gosh. And it's none of that. Worry isn't going to replace anything. The only way to take care of this is that we replace worry with faith. We replace worry with action. We realize that 90% of everything we worry about is never going to take place anyway. See, when we're headed, we are headed for what we're thinking about. So if we're constantly worried, if we're constantly running around with dull, negative, disillusioned people, if we're sitting there looking at the bills instead of looking at a solution to pay the bills, if you're worried about what's that person saying about my company, what's that person saying about me, my best leader is going to leave and go to a new company. Whatever the case, worry is just putting you in the direction. So eventually it could become a self-fulfilled prophecy. That's the key. But what if you flip that? What happens if you decide, you know what, I can't change what anybody else is doing, but what I can do is go out there and recruit one new person in every month, and I can mentor them and train them and work on them, and if somebody leaves, then that's their right. It's America. That's their choice. Let them roll. I'm just going to keep cranking. I'm going to keep doing what needs to be done. I'm going to keep this thing going in the right focus. Or if you get out and you look in the mirror and you say, you know what, I've gained 40 pounds, and I promised myself I'd never turn out that way. I want to make sure that I'm around for my kids. You know, Paige and I and the family right now is doing We Fit, and I got on there, and the girls laughed. They said, Dad, we think it's so cool that you're 45, getting ready to turn 46 this month, but yet your years of life in We Fit is 40. And it's because I've constantly tried to stay active. Now, I've got a lot of weight to lose this year. I'll be quite honest. And girls, I'm not afraid of this, but I'll tell you, I'm at 222, and my goal at the end of the year is to be at 165, which is the weight that I was when Paige and I got married 22 years ago. Not only has she had kids and put on a little weight, but I had kids and put on a lot of weight. And that's a goal. That's not just a goal. We take action plans. I lost 3 pounds this week. This is something that we're focused on because we can take action. The same thing rings true when you go out there and you say, I want to bring somebody new in to my business. The problem is we don't do that because we're worried. What will that person think? Well, I wonder if they even like network marketing. I wonder I wonder, that's what we do. So the first question out of our mouth is not something uplifting and positive. Here's what it ends up being. Hey, do you know anything about network marketing? And then whenever they say, oh, I've heard about network marketing, we never say another word because we assume that what they have to say is going to be negative. And we don't want that. We don't want anybody to say anything negative because we don't know what to do. We worry about what people think about us. And that's the mistake that so many of us make. And we've got to break the habit of excessive worry. And Jim Gilhouse is going to tell us how he thinks we should do that. If he takes his phone off mute.
I wasn't. Well, the best analogy I've ever heard of worry. Worry infested something.
Hey, buddy, you are waddling in and out. Every other word just disappears.
Sorry.
That's right.
Okay. I don't know what the connection.
That is really strange because it's like a bad movie. Every other yesterday. That's what it sounds like. Jimmy's going to be right back, and while he's dialing in, he's probably going to dial in on another number, or he's going to dial back in on this number. And we're gonna see how it sounds. Are you back, Jimmy? Okay, he took off. Let me share real quick. Jim's going to be back on here, but I'm going to share real quick questions that it's not really a question. It's actually a story that Donda uses in her book, and it's the story when the ancient Hebrews were getting ready to go into the Promised Land, what we know as Israel today. They sent 12 spies into the land to see if the land, if they could conquer the land, to see if they could go after the land. And when Moses was sitting there waiting for him to come back, him and Aaron were probably sipping some kind of Hebrew tea and eating something, and all of the spies came back out of the Promised Land, and the first 10 said, oh man, we can't do this. These are big giants. These are awful people. They got big walls and fortresses, and we can't do anything. And the people got scared. But then Joseph and Caleb came out, and they came up to Moses. And now understand that back then Joseph and Caleb were the young ones. They were the ones that are just like our military troops today. They have no fear in their bones, even though they understand that the worst could happen. But they know and they have faith in their abilities and what God can do. So they come up to Moses and the guys, and they said, dude, we can kick butt all over the place. You know, knowing that we've got God on our side, let's just go in there and take the land. Here's what happened. Worry replaced faith. It was another 40 years before the Hebrews went into the Promised Land. Folks, we do this every day. And that's why I was so glad when Donda put this in her book. Because we've got to look at the two different reports that we see on a regular basis. The worry report that we do it to ourselves, and the faith report that's just waiting for us. If we take the worry report, we're never going to achieve the level of success, the level of significance that we could. If we take the faith report, knowing we're going to stumble, knowing we're going to trip, then I tell you what, we're going to achieve it. It may not be at the right time that we thought we would, but we will achieve it. Jimmy, you're back. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine. I always could hear you.
That's perfect.
Apparently there was a bad connection on my end.
Yeah, you're sounding good now, buddy.
Okay. Yeah. What I had started to say was the best analogy as it relates to worry that I've ever heard anybody say is worry manifests itself as negative prayer.
Oh, that's good.
Now, and you had already mentioned the fact that, you know, more people spend time consumed with energy, yeah, because 90% of the things that people worry about in the first place never come to pass in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, well, it's so simple to get wrapped up. You know, and I think a lot of this comes from the fact that we get inundated with so much negativity in our lives as a result of television.
Sure.
How often do we see good news on television? For some reason, human nature is, or you know, it, I don't know if it's human nature or if it's the fact that, you know, the people who control the media have always felt that bad news grabs headlines, bad news grabs ratings much more than good news. And it seems like that's all that people promote who are, you know, I mean, look at Rupert Murdoch. I mean, you know, Mr. Media Mogul himself, you know, Ted Turner. You know, they're all promoting and dramatizing negative news. What if we were to turn that around and the only thing we were to subscribe to, the only news that we were to even to give any credence to and pay any attention to were the positive things that were happening in the world? What would that do to our own personal outlook and the possibilities of what we could achieve?
Jim, that would eliminate 23 hours and 59 minutes of TV. There's nothing on TV.
Well, no, it wouldn't, Troy, because what it would do is it would cause people to do like what you're doing, what we're doing, and that would be to use the TV for their Wii Fit plush and doing things that are going to actually make them healthier, not just physically but mentally as well.
You know, and you've hit this, Jim, because let's take it a step further. It's not just the news channels. The news channels feed into the way the people have been programmed. And if you look at the reality shows, you know, I saw a new one this weekend called High School Reunion Advertised. And everything that they showed was negative about how the person felt when the big bully came at him in high school and how the girlfriend made fun of him and got rid of him in high school. And then I flipped over and said, well, let's see what else is on. And it's all these negative, negative, negative. If I was a foreigner coming in and flipping on the TV and I sat down and saw the show Cops, I would think there's not a safe city in the United States. And people gravitate to this, man. They just every reality show I've seen is more focused on having affairs, focused on the negative, you know, which may be one of the reasons that I find myself watching the rural TV channel and watching farm auctions and Hallmark Channel more than I do anything else, because in the Hallmark Channel, every show has a positive ending of something good. And maybe people think that's fantasy, but in my life, we live by faith. So even when we go through a rough situation, we believe that the outcome will be to our benefit, will be positive.
Faith is a powerful thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it can be so empowering, so enlightening, if a person chooses to have faith. You know, I'm gonna get on my bully pulpit for 1 second, Troy, because in a number of years now, we've talked about the power of faith for the new person getting started, and the new person getting started, when they first get started in this industry, they have two roads in front of them that can lead them down to glorious success or the desire to just surrender and quit. And on those two roads that lie ahead of them is the road that says, listen to your friends and family and do nothing. Sit back and just watch other people fulfill their dreams and don't believe, don't have faith that you can do it. Listen to the advice of the people who are living the same kind of lifestyle and continue to live the same kind of lifestyle that they've lived year after year after year. Or the other road that you can go down is the road of faith. It's the road where you take the advice of a mentor who's living the lifestyle that you dream of and want for yourself and your family, and doing the things that they tell you you need to do, taking the action steps necessary to achieve what it is that they're telling you that needs to be done. And the neatest thing about this whole process is we all have the choice as to which path we choose to follow. Now, doing the right thing is not always doing the easy thing. And this is where people struggle in life in general. It's so much easier to do the easy thing than it is the right thing. It's so much easier just to turn a blind eye to something bad that you see happen instead of step forward and be counted and do something about it, to report it or to follow through on it. That it's through the power of faith, believing in ourselves, believing in the system, believing in our support structure, that we can accomplish literally anything that we choose to do.
And you hit it on the head there. You know, and that goes right along the lines with five things that Dondi put in her book here that people can do on a daily basis. And I think you just did the greatest synopsis on all five of them. And folks, write this down because these are good. Number one, read about and study great turnarounds. You know, that's one thing that Jim, he constantly, when you listen to Jim Gilhouse train, he brings up analogies, he brings up stories of people, companies, and events that were great turnarounds, where people were struggling, but because of faith, because of prayer, because they went out and took action, something different took place. Number two, surround yourself with hopeful people. Jim just talked about this. You don't want to be surrounded, as I say, with dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies. You want to surround yourself with people that's going to help you stay focused on where you want to go. Number three, and Jim, you've taught me this more than once, begin each day with positive affirmations about your life, your goals, and your possibilities. This goes with what Jim just said about faith. Number four, take the advice of Dale Carnegie. The perfect way to conquer fear is through prayer. I got to attest to that one. And number five, come to the end of yourself. And she writes, the weight of the worry that you are carrying is too heavy. When you get to the end of you, God will take it from there. He will not take it away from you. You must hand it over. Then he will do what you cannot. And that goes with faith, Jim. I don't know how many times we've walked into situations. Obviously, we're human. We worry. But when we turn that over, when we let our faith take control, we say, okay, Lord, I can't handle this. You take it. I got to go build a business. I got to go take care of my, whatever the case is. All of a sudden, we see that weight's lifted, and we're able all of a sudden to see a solution to what we were worried about in the first place.
Worry is like walking around with cement boots on, I think, man. It just, it steals the life force right out of a person.
Well, it can be so debilitating. I mean, there's people that will go into massive depression because of worry. You know, worry, to where you sit back and you look. And I'll tell you, folks, if you want a good story of worry, you want a good story, current story, of what depression can do, go pick up the, let me see what date's on this magazine. This is the February issue of Success Magazine. Dave Ramsey's on the front cover, but they've got the story of Neil Cavuto off of Fox News and Fox Business. And when you read his story of how he overcame cancer, and then just to be pulled back into depression when he found out he had MS, to know that his insurance wasn't covering some of this, to see that his mentor was getting ready to step down from General Electric and he didn't know what he was going to do, and he got his job at a ragtag startup called Fox Business or Fox News. This is one of the most compelling stories, because he said people were calling him and he didn't want to talk to them, so his beautiful wife recorded all their messages. And when he finally got around to listening to them, And he was all worried about himself. Here's what some of those messages said. This came from one CEO. I lost my son a year ago. Another CEO, I lost everything I had, my wife, my business, everything. It was all burned up in a fire. Someone else said, I just lost my wife in a tragic car accident. And that was the catalyst for his book, More Than Money, True Stories of People Who Learned Life's Ultimate Lesson. And I'm thinking, what you just said, people, when you're going through something, you're not by yourself. Man, Jim Gilhouse and I go through stuff on a regular basis, whether it's family, whether it's business, whether it's spiritual, doesn't matter what it is. The thing is, we don't go through it by ourselves. We get to go through it either with each other or other people in our lives so that we have other shoulders to lean on. Because, folks, let's be honest. There are times when you're looking at something so crazy, the worries mountain like nothing else, you can't see straight, you honestly, just like in a movie, need somebody to come up and slap you upside the face and bring you back to reality and say, would you stop it? You're not even living what you teach. And that's what we have. That's why this show is what it is. That's why Aces Radio is what it is. It's why we're out there in the internet world the way we are, because we don't want to have to go through life by ourselves, because it sucked when we were. And we sure don't want you guys to have to go through there thinking you're the only ones in the world with all this weight on your shoulder. Man, give it up. Don't worry about it. Make an action plan and go kick some butt. That's what Jim does, except he does it in a helicopter and shoots them as they go.
I gave up on the shooting part there, brother.
Well, doggone it. But it works. You got to clear a path. Might as well sublimity. I'm going to clear a path. You know, that way I know those ground troops can get in there and do what they got to do.
Oh, man.
You know, it's fun, Jim. It's just people can't worry. You can't let that worry stagnate you. You can't let that worry hold you back. I mean, it can be paralyzing. And it's awful. When I see things that happen in the world, I don't look at it anymore as negative. I look at why did it happen and how can I train on it to help somebody else. I heard the most devastating story this weekend of a young girl, fresh, beautiful. I mean, this girl is any father would be proud to call her a daughter. Any man would want to be married to her. She was one of the most, I don't know what they were. She just won some Playboy contest as one of the most beautiful women in the world. But she was in the wrong relationship at the wrong time, had her own problems, and was found burned beyond recognition in a dumpster in Miami this weekend. And as I sat there and looked at that, I thought, what can I train? How can I help families and young women and young men to understand you don't have, just because you're one thing doesn't mean that you have to let that dominate your life and control it. And in this case, she just seemed to she had the beauty, she had the fame, she was getting the fortune, but yet inside she had something that was causing her to continue to move into devastating relationships that finally has taken her life. And it's like, man, we got to find ways to help people like that, and at the same time we've got to find a way to help those people that have such pent-up anger that they would go out and do this to a family who's never done anything to them. So, folks, this is what worry can do. When you worry too much, it can cause you to do some of the stupidest things in the world, and it can cause you to feel emotions that no person should ever have to feel. So keep that in mind. Tomorrow we're going to be back here with Dondi's book. I tell you, I love this book. I love this girl. We're going to have her back on the radio here shortly. And tomorrow, the bouquet of thorns releasing the offensive that poisoned. Oh, this is going to be a good one, Jimmy. It's going to be awesome. Thank you for stepping up. Any parting words as we get ready to close out?
Just empower your day by taking action. That's the most important thing. Troy talks about this all the time, but folks, I can't emphasize this enough. If you want to truly empower your life and empower your day, do something positive today. Do something that you've been threatening to do and haven't followed through on, and see what the difference is.
That's the key. Folks, have a fantastic day. Live life like it's an epic adventure. We'll be back here with you first thing in the morning, 9 a.m., Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.
God bless everybody.